Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
We have arrived at that moment in the program, as we do each day about this time. The beginning of the fourth and final hour of the Bobby Mac Show, the one we refer to as the bonus hour. What do we do? Let's do that. Grab the phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. And my email address is bob@1063WORD.com. So even despite criticism from some within his own party saying his time has come and gone, Joe Biden tossing his hair plugs into the ring today for the Democrat presidential nomination in 2020. What say you, Joe?
Never backs down. Past 29 months.
Michelle remembers how what he must have thought when she came. My dad respected Barack Obama. Would have respected Barack Obama had he been around for the automobile industry. No. Then the automobile industry.
If you attack innocent Americans, we will follow you to the end of the earth.
We're American leads not only by the power of the example of our power. The work of recovery is not yet complete,
but we are on our way.
Yeah. Driven by the automobile industry. So, yeah, lots of luck, Joe. Good luck to you, pal. In on the text line 71307. Hey, Bob, this is Tim again. I would love to run for office. As a matter of fact, I've been considering running for state house. We can't fix the big stuff unless we address our own house first. Love the show. Thank you, Tim. I encourage you. Get out there and do that. Bobby, regarding Joe Biden, I really wonder how long he has been liberal with his hands to people of the opposite sex, because I've had one person do that to me, and they got a black eye. I didn't even know who was behind me. From Katie. Thank you, Katie. Bob, Warren should remember, if you don't exercise your right to vote, then you don't have a right to complain. Bobby, if the whoevers don't charge the real crooks, it's a sad day. And I believe that catches me up with the text line. Now, I mentioned our friends in California, the Golden State. In California, historically, where all the good ideas come from. Like the $70 billion bullet train to nowhere. The California State Senate voted to ban schools and principals from suspending students for, quote, willful defiance of teachers, staff, and administrators. That's another great idea from the California State Senate. Put the inmates in charge of the asylum. The Senate approved SB 419 yesterday by a vote of 30-8. Now moves to the Assembly. A similar bill was vetoed by crazy Governor Moonbeam Jerry Brown in the last legislative session. Under the new version, students in grades 4 through 8 wouldn't be suspended for disrupting school activities or willfully defying school authorities, including teachers and staff. Don't teachers have a tough enough job already? I mean, you know, the district hands down the latest indoctrination lessons that they're supposed to dole out. And now, of course, you can't do anything if the kids act up. What if they assault you in the classroom? Can't be suspended then? Isn't that being willfully disruptive? The bill would also ban schools from suspending students in grades 9 through 12 for the same thing until January 1, 2025. The law would apply to both public and charter schools. Existing law already prohibits schools from suspending children in grades K through 3 for being disruptive or being willfully defiant. Existing law also prevents schools from recommending the expulsion of students in all grades for being disruptive or for willful defiance. What in the world are these people thinking? You know, but when you get one-party dominance, as they have in California, you get this kind of stuff. Okay, here we go. A dozen minutes after 6 and time for today's edition of Gary Goodvoice introduces it for us.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Bob McClain presents Amazing True Facts.
They are amazing, and they're true. New study just out. There's a new one every day. New study found that listening to sad music when you're depressed makes you feel happier than upbeat music. Might be because uplifting music can be irritating when you're sad. Here's a brief example that we put together for you. The Adagio for Strings. I'm going to do a survey, Money Penny, and see if people listen. Like Warren, he's depressed. Yeah, he's sad. Let's see if listening to the Adagio for Strings made him feel happier about the whole situation. The Idaho Potato Commission has a giant fake potato they haul around the country for promotional purposes. They recently replaced it with a new one. So a woman took the original and turned it into a hotel.
Since this wasn't intended to ever be a house, it was a lot of work. The bathroom is in a separate structure, a grain silo bin, and then the potato is like the living bedroom area.
You put it in a museum, it's one thing, but you put it out here in a way of inviting people to experience Idaho in a unique way, and it just seemed to make total sense to us.
I rent to couples, so it's designed for couples. I think there'll be a lot of staycations, and hopefully it will be a thing like if you're family is coming from out of town, like, oh, you have to go spend a night in the Big Idaho Potato Hotel.
That is the woman behind the Big Idaho Potato Hotel, and that was the CEO of the Idaho Potato Commission in there as well. It's one big room with a bathroom next door in a grain silo 25 miles outside of Boise, and you can rent it starting next month on Airbnb. Meantime, do you snore? According to a new study, women snore just as much as men. They're just more likely to deny it. According to the study, 88% of women snore, but only 72% will admit to it. Men actually overreport their snoring. 92.5% say they snore, but 93% say they do. So actually, it's overreported by about half a percentage point there. All right. And finally, an amazing true facts today. Merriam-Webster just released the new dictionary, to which they have added 640 words to our lexicon, including a new word for someone who is overly sensitive, which you may already be familiar with.
Snowflake. Snowflake.
Yeah, it's in there. You can find it in the dictionary. There you go. There is today's edition of Amazing True Facts. 6:15 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Take a quick break here. Right back on the other side as we cruise on here on Thursday.
Work, 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 work.
Our work here is never done. At the Insensitivity University for Non-Politically Correct Studies, 6:21 here on the Bobby Mack Show, in on the text line. Bobby, remember, snowflakes melt under warmth, from Katie. Bobby, that Adagio for Strings sounds like the music they should play if Bernie or Biden wins. I wouldn't hold my breath for that to happen. Bobby Mack, the school laws that are being placed in our school system are because the school system has become a babysitter. Fill in the rest of the blanks. Now, Bobby, soon there will be no one willing to teach in California. Bob, in all honesty, props to Joe Biden. He gave a really good speech in Ohio or in Iowa or in Ohio about Iowa or wherever he was. Bobby, how do you spell mobile? I'm not quite sure. That catches me up. This column today I wanted to share with you as well. They're still after Kavanaugh. Yeah, this is from townhall.com by Walter Williams, brilliant economist, now retired university professor. George Mason University's Antonin Scalia Law School hired Supreme Court Associate Justice Brett Kavanaugh to co-teach a course this summer called Creation of the Constitution. The course will be held 3,668 miles away in Runnymede, England, where the Magna Carta was sealed 800 years ago. Some George Mason University students and faculty have become triggered. Snowflake. One student told George Mason's Board of Visitors, "It has affected my mental health, knowing that an abuser will be part of our faculty." Another said the hiring of Kavanaugh threatens the mental well-being of all survivors on this campus. The WAPO, Washington Post, reports that a petition to fire Kavanaugh has gathered almost 3,500 signatures and has the endorsement of George Mason Democrats, a student group. GMU students have taken part in student demonstrations, including defacing a statue of the university's namesake, George Mason, who was, of course, a Virginian, by putting blue tape on his mouth and attaching anti-Kavanaugh signs. The university spokesman, Michael Sandler, gave the college fix a mealy-mouthed excuse, saying, "We allow students to dress up the statue, so this doesn't violate any policies that I'm aware of." He said the university strongly supports freedom of expression, and this would seem to fall into that category. Yeah, and I'm all for freedom of expression, including this. If they, by equal measure, allowed conservative free expression, which they do not, his vision suggests that freedom of expression includes defacing university property. Youngsters with little understanding might be forgiven for their protest of a U.S. Supreme Court Associate Justice sharing his wisdom with law students, but faculty members cannot be excused. Professor Bethany Letisk, head of the George Mason chapter of the American Association of University Professors, endorsed a call by Uncoke My Campus, another leftist group, for a congressional investigation of GMU's law school's hiring of Justice Kavanaugh as an adjunct faculty member. Fortunately for civility, Dr. Angel Cabrera, the university's president, said there were no legitimate grounds for an investigation by the university, while tossing a bit of pablum to the protesters by saying, "I respect the views of people who disagreed with Justice Kavanaugh's Senate confirmation due to questions raised about his sexual conduct in high school." By that, Mr. President, I guess you're referring to unfounded allegations that remain unproven with no verification or witnesses. But he was confirmed and is now a sitting justice, the president said. Considering that a college president is also a politician, that statement demonstrates good judgment. According to the College Fix, after listening to the student protesters speak during the board meeting, Cabrera and the Board of Visitors rector, Tom Davis, said they were proud of the students and appreciated that they spoke up and acted as engaged citizens, which is baloney. Professor Williams writing, I receive many questions from people around the country who are surprised by the happenings at George Mason. As I have advised on numerous occasions, George Mason University erroneously earns a reputation as a conservative/libertarian university because of its most distinguished and internationally known liberty-oriented economics department, which boasts of two homegrown Nobel laureates in economics. Its Antonin Scalia Law School has a distinguished faculty that believes in personal liberty and reveres the U.S. Constitution, unlike many other law schools that hold liberty and our Constitution in contempt. The rest of the university is just like most other universities, liberal, Democratic Party dominated. The chief difference between my GMU colleagues and liberals at some other universities is that they are polite, respectful, and congenial, unlike what one might find at places like UC Berkeley or the University of Massachusetts. GMU students and faculty may also be disturbed about what Justice Kavanaugh is going to teach. In the course, Creation of the Constitution, he will explain how much the Magna Carta influenced the founders of our nation. The 1215 Magna Carta limited the power of central government, and it forced a reigning monarch, that would have been King John, to grant his English subjects rights. It contained a list of 63 clauses drawn up to limit King John's power, resulting in making royal authority subject to the law instead of reigning above it. And it laid the foundations for limited constitutional governments, an idea offensive to most leftists. That is the writing of Professor Walter E. Williams, brilliant economist. His latest book, American Contempt for Liberty, is now available. By the way, in mentioning Magna Carta, I don't know if you've ever seen a film. It wasn't nominated for any awards that I'm aware of, and it was out in theaters 7 or 8 years ago. I believe it was made in 2011. And it shows the events, it depicts in very graphic, violent terms, the battle that went on in 13th century England. In the film, a Knights Templar, who is played by, who was the actor who played him? James Purefoy. Plays the Knights Templar, and a few of the Baron's men fight to defend Rochester Castle against the tyrannical King John. Because after King John had signed Magna Carta, he claimed that he had been forced to do it, and he went around trying to get the signed copies of it back so he could essentially do away with it. And the battle at Rochester Castle was to hang on to one of the last remaining copies of Magna Carta, and the fight that ensued at that castle was very violent and bloody, ending in King John's defeat and the implementation and success of Magna Carta. It's called Ironclad. One word, Ironclad. You ever get a chance to see it? Not safe, probably, for the youngsters because it is very violent, because this is, after all, 12th century England. 6:30 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Patrick's ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side when I come back. The latest lunacy from New York City. And speaking of lunacy, boneheads in the news for Thursday. All that on the way next. Welcome back. Great to have you along. 6:35 now, 25 before 7 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Let's see if I can catch up with the text line quickly. Bobby, did you realize that Andrew Cuomo is trying to put the NRA out of business by threatening banks and insurance companies to do business with them? This is a dire situation that needs to be brought out in the open, if you can let everybody know. Thanks from CM in Greer. I have seen some of that. Bob, the actor who plays King John. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that Paul Giamatti plays King John in Ironclad. The actor who plays King John played John Adams. Ironclad is a must-see. I would agree. Okay, that catches me up there. Now then, to the lefty loony news of the day from New York City. New York City. New York City, the first city in the United States to eliminate processed meats. What do I mean by this? Well, Mayor Bill de Blah Blah approved an ambitious $14 billion Green New Deal on Monday, April 22nd, to combat climate change. Yes, we must stop climate change. So get this. The plan, I guess he wants to make everybody in New York a vegan. The plan will cut purchases of red meat by 50% in its city-controlled facilities, such as hospitals, schools, and correctional facilities. Oh, boy. Wait until they find out there's no meat in prison, or it's cut in half. Attica! Attica! The new commitment builds off the Meatless Mondays campaign that was adopted by all New York schools 2 years ago. It's a difficult plan. It is a necessary plan. Estimates tell us that we have only 12 years to get it right. Oh, God, here we go again. 20 years ago, Al Gore said we got 10 years to get it right. Let's be clear. Yeah. We have until 2030 to change things fundamentally, or our lives won't be the same, de Blasio said. So no more hot dogs, because we must save the planet. How are you going to go to a Mets or a Yankees game and not have a hot dog? He made these announcements naturally, appropriately enough, on Earth Day. By 2030, New York City's Green New Deal will reduce greenhouse emissions by 30% while also creating new jobs. But not for butchers. Additionally, all buildings that are 25,000 square feet or more, of which there are 50,000 buildings citywide, will be required to make efficiency upgrades that lower their energy usage or emissions, or they will face steep penalties. Why would the mayor, well, I know why the mayor of a city would try and drive away the thousands of corporate headquarters, well, hundreds if not thousands of corporate headquarters that exist in Gotham. Bob, does this mean no more spam in New York City? Queries someone on the text line. Meantime, another of these brilliant leaders in Democrat-controlled cities in the North and Northeast, having some difficulties these days. Two homes belonging to embattled Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh were searched last Thursday by federal agents as part of a multi-site raid, also encompassing City Hall, and coming amid the ongoing investigation into Pugh's $500,000 book sale windfall. We've talked about this in the past, if you didn't hear it. She wrote this book and then got the city to buy them. Additionally, FBI and IRS agents searched the Maryland Center for Adult Training, where Pugh once led a nonprofit job training program alongside three of her staffers, the office of Pugh's attorney, Stephen Sillerman, and the home of a Pugh staffer, Gary Brown Jr. Agents were seen carrying boxes, entering the locations where pictures also showed them surveying the grounds and taking pictures. A spokesman for the Phibbies, Dave Fitz, confirmed to reporters outside the agency's Baltimore office that agents from the Washington field office executed court-authorized search warrants at both residences and City Hall. said he couldn't reveal any more information because the search warrants were sealed. Pew's defense attorney did not immediately return a comment. Yeah, right. The Democrat mayor, who is currently on a leave of absence, that she has blamed on having pneumonia, has faced mounting calls to resign after it was discovered she reportedly received $500,000 from the University of Maryland Medical System for a book she wrote, a book called Healthy Holly, a children's book series. UMMS reportedly paid Pew for 100,000 copies of her books between 2011 and 2018 while she was a member of its board. How convenient. With the stated intention of distributing the books to schools and daycare centers. But apparently that didn't happen. Some 50,000 copies remain unaccounted for, and officials are probing if they were ever even printed. Pew took an indefinite leave of absence earlier this month on the same day the governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan, requested a criminal investigation into the lucrative but controversial book deal. Five of Pew's staffers have since gone on paid leave as well. In the ensuing weeks, the entire lineup of the current city council, every lawmaker in Maryland's House of Delegates, the influential Greater Baltimore Committee Business Group, and other prominent Maryland leaders have called on the first-term mayor to resign, which he has thus far not agreed to do. Pew's communication staff has said she intends to return to City Hall when she's feeling better. The news that the FBI is at her house and at her office at City Hall is not going to help her recuperative efforts, I'm thinking, but have declined to provide a timetable. Only a conviction can trigger a Baltimore mayor's removal from office, according to the city solicitor, citing the state's constitution. Baltimore's mayor-friendly city charter currently provides no options for ousting its executive. I would think an FBI investigation might be enough, but apparently not. The charter is utterly silent on how long the leave can last, exactly what the reasons are for a leave. Pew came to office in late 2016 after edging out the former mayor, Sheila Dixon, who spent much of her own tenure fighting corruption charges before being forced to leave office in 2010 as part of a plea deal connected to the misappropriation of about $500 in gift cards meant for needy families. Well, charity does begin at home. Of course, there's a world of difference between being forced out in a plea deal about misappropriation of $500 in gift cards and the current mayor who sold her books to the University of Maryland Medical System while a member of its board for $500,000. While the accusations have certainly cast a pall over Pew, she has not been indicted for a crime, and it's unclear how long the current criminal investigation will take. Earlier this month, Silverman said the mayor looks forward to cooperating with the state's prosecutor. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. So she writes a book, a children's book, while a member of the board of the University of Maryland Medical System, and then sells it to him for $500,000. Nice work if you can get it. If I knew that children's books paid that well, I'd do like Limbaugh and start writing some myself. But I'm not on the board, am I? 7:15 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Boneheads is next. Welcome back. Great to have you along. 6:50, 7:10 here on the Bobby Mack Show. By the way, if you are a fan of the films of Bond, James Bond, the next one is on the way. I know the current James Bond said at one point after the conclusion of the last film, he would rather slash his wrists than do another one. But we know what walks and what talks, and so Bond is back.
All eyes were on the big James Bond movie reveal live stream. And although they didn't tell us what the name of the new upcoming Bond movie will be, for now they're just calling it Bond 25, they did reveal its list of characters. Daniel Craig will be returning in his final stint as 007, and he'll be joined by many of the characters from the last couple of Bond movies, including Jeffrey Wright, who plays Bond's CIA operative friend, Felix Leiter. However, everyone is talking about the fact that Rami Malek, who most recently won an Oscar for Best Actor for Bohemian Rhapsody, has been casted to play the Bond villain. Mike Unzelman, Fox News.
So wait a minute. It's going to be James Bond against Queen? Okay. The guy is a great actor, though. If anybody can pull it off, I imagine you can. All right, here we go. Time for today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
Yes, well, there's a high school in Houston that just implemented a dress code. Now, that in and of itself is not that unusual, but this dress code is for the parents. Carlotta Outley Brown is the principal at James Madison High School in Houston. She sent out a letter earlier this month to the parents telling them they need to start dressing more appropriately when they're dropping off or picking up their kids. And the dress code includes a ban on hair rollers, jammies, slippers, visible underwear, jeans with rips on the rear end, very low-cut tops, sagging pants, and short shorts. Carlotta says she's implementing the policy, quote, to prepare our children and let them know daily the appropriate attire they're supposed to wear when entering a building, going somewhere, or applying for the job. Some of the parents, though, were unhappy, along with the Houston Federation of Teachers. Here is one woman who says she was denied access to school because of the dress code.
I can see if it's a student. Yes, they have a dress code. I understand that, but I'm not a student, so I have no dress code. So who are you to tell me how to dress? But when I got to Madison High School, they refused me access to the premises because of what I had on. She said that my headscarf was out of dress code and my dress was too short. Not saying it's a part of my religion, but it could have been. I just wanted to wear it up. Who are you to say that I can't wear my hair up in a scarf? I'm mad. I'm furious. My child's education, anyone's child's education, should be more important than what someone has on. That shouldn't matter.
So, what flaunted the rules? She was wearing a long T-shirt as a dress and a scarf tied around her head. A school administrator said it violated their dress code, wouldn't let her on school grounds. They had sent out that letter earlier this month, warning, what? You gotta dress the right way or you don't get in. Sadly, right up the road, two guys in North Carolina, Good Samaritans, well, that's what they were thought to be, stopped to help a woman out of her car after an accident Tuesday afternoon, but then what they really intended changed after that.
Some things are just senseless. I mean, that's just not necessary. Helping her get out, they were yelling, the car's on fire, everybody get away. I get to the car, they've gotten her out of the front seat. One of the guys reached in the car, grabbed her purse, and ran and jumped into their car and peeled off. A human being that's hurt and injured and crying, and their thought is to get a purse and run. To go out of your way to act like you're helping somebody just to take everything they own, she could have been dying. I mean, literally, they could have jerked her out of that car and her neck been fractured or something and paralyzed her just to get her purse.
Yeah, that's the husband of the woman. They reached into the car, grabbed her purse, and took off. So much for being good Samaritans. Meantime, let's go further northward. A lot of times here in Boneheads, we have a Florida man stories. This one is at the other end. A Maine man who apparently had been overserved backed his truck into a parked car outside a bar on Saturday. He didn't realize his trailer hitch got locked into its bumper. Cops pulled him over nearby while he was still towing the other car. Unaware, he was accompanied by the car he had backed into. A 64-year-old guy who broke out of jail in Austria more than 10 years ago had been pretty much living a life of luxury in the Canary Islands, but he just turned himself in because he said the islands just weren't as nice as they used to be. So he gave himself up. And finally, a guy in New York managed to steal cash from a Walmart this month when his friend distracted the cashier by dancing around like an idiot. Cops released the surveillance footage to see if somebody can help identify the guy. So far, no success. There you go. There is today's edition of
Boneheads in the News.
As we wrap up the Thursday edition here on the Bobby Mac Show, thanks so much for being along. Appreciate it as always. And, of course, we'll do it all again, only more so with the Friday free-for-all tomorrow, when you can talk about whatever is on your mind. See you back tomorrow at 3. Have a good evening. God bless.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Well, kids, that's our show for today. And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter,
every time we say goodbye,
goodbye.
You say goodbye.
What?
And I say hello.
Hello. I must be going. I must be going.
So long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye to you.
I'll be back.
Goodbye to you.
Goodbye.
Broadcast day.
Goodbye.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.